Hello and welcome to Jaw Law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor from Dallas, Texas, from the law firm of McGregor and Oblad. And today we are talking about liquidated damages. Our topic today used to be this arcane, rarely used device in legal contracts. But if you've been given an employment contract or other contracts, but especially in employment contracts, then you are more likely to become familiar with this because we've been seeing them in contracts a lot lately. In fact, the two reasons I'm doing this episode, number one, I've been seeing them way more in contracts. Number two, I keep hearing things like, oh, that's not enforceable. And anytime someone says something is not enforceable, you got to slide into your AirPods to correct some misunderstandings. But we're at a place where if you're in this game long enough, some contract that you are going to be presented will likely have the concept of liquidated damages. In order to talk about liquidated damages, I've got to explain what they are. And the best way I think that I can explain what they are is to use an example that will be familiar to most dentists, and that is the solicitation of former patients. So let's say that you and a future employer, you're getting into a contract, and that employer says, Joe, I really want you to be the best dentist possible, and I want you to develop a great relationship with my patients. But once you have that great relationship, if you leave, I don't want you to take them. And so I am going to write into the contract that if you leave, you will not take them. And I say, that's fair. I promise I will not take your patients. I work for you for a few years, and I finally say, you know what? I can do this on my own. I'm going to go start my own practice. And being the shameless lawyer that I am, I say, wouldn't it be nice if I started this new practice with some built-in patients, like the patients I just treated? So I call them up and I say, hey guys, I'm opening my own place. You've been working with me for the past few years. Why don't you follow me? And of course, what I just did was expressly against the contract. And because it was against the contract, my former employer now has the right to sue. Now, what's going to happen is that former employer is going to hire a lawyer, spend a buttload of money, waste a ton of time, and in the end, he doesn't even know if I can pay him back because I just started a practice. I'm in a ton of debt, and I don't have a lot of patient flow yet. Then, even if he wins the lawsuit, he's got to try to prove how much I hurt him. So if I took 100 patients, what is that worth? Well, we've got to do a lot of math, and that's more time, more lawyer bills, and you can kind of see where this is going. So before I sign on with the employer sits me down and says, Joe, you have agreed not to take my patients, but I know that there's always the chance that they might follow you. Even if they don't want to follow you, I don't want to get involved in policing who you talk to. I don't want to have to prove that. So why don't we sit down right now and figure out how much each patient is worth? And I've run some numbers and I've decided each patient is probably worth about $1,000. So in the future, if you ever leave me, Joe, if you treat one of my patients or if you solicit one of my patients, you will send me a check for $1,000. And so if I really do that dastardly thing, like call up 100 patients and get them to come over, if I'm willing to pay $1,000, then yeah, that is now legit. But that concept of pre-assessing what those patients might be worth, those are liquidated damages. And however it shows up, whether it's in a purchase contract or a construction contract, employment contract, it can be used to help the parties determine an amount that will settle a future disagreement or breach so that you don't have to go to court. So now you kind of know what liquidated damages are. Let me tell you, just so that you can understand this conversation, a little bit about the legal context. Rule number one of contracts is that penalties are illegal. Let me repeat that. Penalties are illegal. Violating a contract, which we call a breach, is not a crime. And what our courts have decided, our judicial culture has said, it's okay if someone breaches a contract, they just have to make up for the harm that they caused. But I cannot institute any preventative measures to keep them from causing that harm or keep them from breaching. And that's something important because I get asked this all the time. How can I keep this person from doing X? You can't. We can only figure out a way to, and for lack of a better word, to punish them once they do. But that punishment can't be the actual deterrent. And I realize that a lot of people don't like that, but it is just the way it is, and we can't change it. So we understand that penalties are illegal, but liquidated damages are not. Well, what is the difference? Liquidated damages require two things. Number one, it has to be something that is inherently, by its nature, difficult to assess. So go back to the solicitation of former patients. If I take a patient, it's kind of difficult to know how much that patient will be worth. What if they never come in? What if they need a full mouth restoration? It's really difficult. We all know that patients are worth different amounts. And sometimes you have a patient who has a perfect set of teeth and then they get in a hockey accident, right? So it's just super difficult to know how much that damage is going to be. The other thing that we have to have, it has to be a reasonable approximation of the damages. It doesn't have to be accurate, but it has to be reasonable. And by the way, a critical piece of this is that it's not just enough to guess reasonably in the future. So projecting in, oh, I think it's going to be $700 when in reality, it's $5. It has to be reasonable in reality. So even when it happens, looking back, is it still reasonable? And that's something I feel so many people misunderstand. So going back to the first point, it has to be inherently unpredictable. This is important. I wish I could tell every employer this. If you hire an associate and you have a two-year contract and you say, if you break this contract before the 2 years, you owe us $50,000. I've said this before, nothing's unenforceable until a judge says it's unenforceable. But that is really, really tough because if you are an employer, you have a pretty good idea of how much this person costs you and what's going to happen if they leave early. So for instance, if I am a DSO, and I've paid a recruiter $10,000, and I've paid you a relocation bonus of $5,000. Well, now I'm $15,000 into you, and maybe I have an additional $5,000 of corporate expenditures to train you and just whatever. We're going to be generous and say I have invested $20,000 into you. Then let's say you just quit dentistry. You work there for a month, and you're like, I'm out of here. They didn't get any benefit out of you. Well, now they got to go hire someone else. And let's be generous again and say your replacement cost them another $20,000. And in the interim, they lost out on some patients. Let's just say it's $50,000. So Joe, why wouldn't it be okay to say $50,000 is our liquidated damages? Because you know that. Because it's easy. You can put it in a spreadsheet and it's pretty reliable. Now, the only argument I think that an employer would have is because you don't know what the expenses are going to be as they're amortized, as you've costed them. So it's a different value if someone leaves in the first month versus the 20th month. But I still think that's barely tiptoeing the line. I think this is something that is probably, at least in spirit, not enforceable. But don't think that this is not enforceable. This is like my theme song. It's only unenforceable when a judge says it's unenforceable. And even when we're positive that it's unenforceable, you will always be able to find a judge who will enforce it. Now, going to the second point, it has to be a reasonable approximation of damages. So if I say, as a practice owner, it costs me $1 million if you go and compete against me, well, that's probably not going to fly. Because what if you go and you don't take a single patient? Unenforceable. And it looks like a penalty. And that's kind of the point. There's this sliding scale. The more steep and distant it becomes from reality, the more unlikely you are to be able to enforce it. Now, this is a caveat I should have provided at the very beginning. But as you can imagine, and if you've listened to this podcast, you know, every state is a little different, has its own judicial heritage. Although I would say, in general terms, the states are pretty similar in this regard. It's the details where, you know, this might be enforceable in this state and this might not be enforceable in that one. That's where you see the differences. The general principle, though, has been around. But what you need to understand, with that caveat in mind, there is the concept that when you pre-agree to liquidated damages, that's it. Let me give you an example. Let's say you find a construction company and you say, construction company, I've heard really bad things about contractors taking too long on their contracts. I would like you to put your money where your mouth is. You're telling me it's going to take 90 days. How about for every day you take beyond 90 days, you owe me $100? And the contractor says, fine, that's fair. We know we're going to get it done in 89 days. So let's do this. Okay, well, what if life happens and the contractor takes like extra time? You're a pediatric dentist. You thought you were going to be open in May, right in time for the summer. But the contractor doesn't get built out until September. Well, you're thinking, all right, you just cost me basically a year, a cycle, and all that money that I was going to make during the summer. Let's just say that the contractor went over 100 days. So you'd take 100 times 100. Well, the contractor is going to say, well, this isn't very fun, but I'm going to deduct 10 grand from your construction total because that's what we agreed. Well, you're not happy. You're like, 10 grand. I lost way more than that in opportunity. Well, guess what? You already liquidated your damages. He pays you 10 grand. That's that. There are some ways around that, but the enforceability or I guess the validity of those ways is a little questionable, and that gets state to state, where sometimes you can say, okay, it's at least $10,000, at least $100 a day, but it might be more. In some states, you cannot do that. And certainly the principle is that you've liquidated. I mean, that's what liquidated means on your damages. You've already agreed to what they are, what they're supposed to be. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. That's something you have to be careful. So sometimes liquidated damages sound like a great idea, but they are not always. Same thing going back to the solicitation. If you've determined that your patients, on average, are worth $700 and you liquidate them at $700 and someone takes 10 patients and all 10 of them need like a bunch of cosmetic dentistry, you can't come back later and say, whoa, you need to pay way more than $750. That's that. It's over. You've already pre-agreed. It's in your contract. I guess the point of this episode was to say there's a time and a place for liquidated damages. They can be helpful. And importantly, they can be helpful for both parties. The problem that I'm seeing is that that's not how it's being used in the marketplace. It is being used mostly by corporate employers to have something to hold over you. And most of the times, maybe I shouldn't say most, but it is common that when I encounter these liquidated damages provisions, I don't think they're enforceable. They are at least leaning unenforceable. And so clients are having to make difficult decisions. Do I sign up with this corporate employer who may be my only job option with this really aggressive and uncomfortable, punitive provision? Do I still sign up with them, or do I hold out for somebody who's more reasonable? Well, that's a tough decision. Either way, this is something you should be talking with your dental lawyer and making sure you fully understand not just the concept, but how it's reading in your contract. You need to understand how enforceable it is, and you need to be making an effort to water it down as best you can. And that's all we have today. If you like what you've heard, please feel free to share and give us a rating on whatever service you listen to this on. Thank you so much. And if you ever have a question, send me an email, jmcgregor@mcgregorfirm.com. We'd love to answer it. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.